You're probably reaching for your Bible. I'm going to ask you to reach for your songbook. I want you to turn to song number 434. And I'm going to ask you your opinion. Do you want to sing it or do you want to just read it? We're going to do one or the other. Would you rather sing it? There's a nodding of the head. There's a couple nods. Esther, would you mind playing it? You're right up here. Isn't that a beautiful sight right there? Did you see that? I know you're looking at it from a different perspective, but we all know that we stand. Let's sing it together. Thus be it ever. when free men shall stand between their loved homes and the war's desolation. Blessed with victory and peace, may the heaven-rescued land praise the power that hath made and preserved us a nation. Now conquer we must when our cause it is just, and this be our motto: in God is our trust. Memorial Day is a time when we remember those who are no longer with us, those that have passed from this life into eternity, from time into eternity. We think about those we remember. And we remember those that cared enough to do something to make a difference. We remember those that protected us and impacted our lives. I don't have anybody that I know of that is a written or a sung hero of wars past. I'm talking about family, personal family. Some of you may have some. I don't have anybody in my family that I know of that is honored at the base or in all that went on in Europe. Normandy, I don't have anybody there in Ziegler name or the Neff name or the Gummo name that I know of. But though I don't know of any family members that were there, those that gave, cared enough to make a difference, gave of themselves to protect and to impact my life. Well, there's been people that I can look to that have personally impacted me, just like they people in your lives that have impacted you personally. You can look to those individuals, whether they're still alive or not, you still know that they have impacted your lives. But there's a host of people that we have never known that gave, that stood between their beloved homes and war's desolation. I suppose that the writer there, speaking on the realm of the personal, hit it very close. Their beloved homes. There's a lot of people that I'm acquainted with that have lived and died in the same location. They grew up there. That's all they knew. Some people never leave the county in which they were born. That's all that they ever know. And so that becomes a place of very precious memory, very sacred to them, very personally valuable. And so when he mentions that a person was willing to stand between their beloved home and war's desolation, means that they were willing to give of themselves. That's powerful this morning as we recollect, as we remember. Memorial Day, that's what it's all about, is remembering. It's not about the big race today. It's not about the big barbecues tomorrow. It's about memory. It's about remembering. Remembering those who have crossed from time into eternity. Those who cared enough to make a difference. That's something for us to consider this morning. As we look at our lives, we remember the past, but we look at our lives, we thank God for those that are still giving. But what about us personally? Those of us that have never been, we have a few here this morning that have been in the military, that have given of themselves and been placed in that position, that their life could have been taken on the battlefield. But for the most part, the majority of us have never experienced it, never seen that, have never been a part of that. And yet we have a position, we have a place to fill, we have a responsibility. If not in the scheme of the American military, we do have a position to fill in the scheme of spiritual battle. Those who cared to make a difference, those that protected and impacted our lives. You see, I am, and we are grateful this morning for the sacrifice and the dignity and the honor of those that have given. Because of their sacrifice, their dignity, the honor that they gave, and we are grateful for that. Because of that, we are the beneficiary of freedom. We are the recipient of the blessings that flow from that. I've been born in this like you. This freedom is all that I know. And yet, how many of the world's population enjoy this level of freedom? While we want to sometimes grumble or murmur, or whatever word you want to put in there, about the loss of our freedoms or the deterioration of our freedoms, even so, how many of the world's population enjoy the level of freedom that we do have? You've been hearing me say on recent months, I guess it's been months, maybe even a year, I don't know how long I've been mentioning on a regular basis of praying for our brothers and sisters who are being persecuted. And I read things on a weekly basis, so it keeps it fresh in my mind. And the reality is always there, though I don't experience it myself. I'm reading it on a weekly basis that it's not going away. As a matter of fact, it's getting closer and closer to home. We are the beneficiaries of freedom that the world doesn't really understand and longs for. We think about the physical freedoms that we enjoy, the country freedoms that we enjoy, because we are Americans. The profound freedoms that we are beneficiary of. Proud to be an American is an understatement to many of us. My brother has two sons that are in the military. One of them's in the Army and one of them's in the Marines. And he said that there's a conflict between the brothers, especially if you call the Marine a soldier. That's a problem. Do not call the Marine a soldier. The one one's a soldier and the other one's a Marine. See, there's a difference there. And while they would have their differences of position and what they are called by name, they are united under one cause or one flag. Are you hearing me this morning? We're in a spiritual battle. And there's so many things that are comparable to the physical from the spiritual or the physical to the spiritual. There's a lot of people that have gone on who have fought the spiritual fight. I heard Jim Plank say this week something, some of you may have heard it as well. The things that we believe and the things that are written in our minds or written on our papers to describe our lifestyles, to set the precedent of our lifestyles. These things were set up and established by men and women in the spirit of revival and the power of revival. These things were established. It should not be easily cast away, especially when we are not in the spirit of revival. He said, now if I, speaking of himself, was feeling the power of God's anointing where there were many people being brought into the kingdom of God under my ministry, and we were in the spirit of revival as the church, then maybe we could sit down and begin to talk about some things. But when these who have given so much in the spirit of revival and established in the spirit of revival, we are the recipient or the beneficiary of the freedoms that quite often we consider straitjacket. This freedom is all that I know, as I mentioned. As a child in Haiti, I was 7 years old, 7, 8 years old. I guess I would have been 8 on the 4th of July that we spent there in Port-au-Prince, Haiti. And the American military, whoever it was, I don't recall exactly which group of people or who it was. I guess it could have been the Air Force more than any of them, but they did a flyover for all the Americans that were in Port-au-Prince on the 4th of July that year. I think it was 1974, I believe. And I'm just an 8-year-old child. I'm just a little guy, and I remember the profound feeling of pride in my country as that formation flew over. I didn't understand too much of it then, I can assure you. All I could see was the power that was going through the air. You know, that's what attracted me. That's what my attention was on, the immensity of that power and grace. But as I look back on it, I can see and I can feel even now the measure of pride that would come with being an American. Why? Are we better than anybody else as people? No. But we are the beneficiaries of people who gave of their dignity, of their honor, gave sacrificially. I'm a recipient this morning of mercy and love because of the spiritual stalwarts of the years gone by. I've noticed since living in Indiana, which I've lived more in Indiana than I have in Pennsylvania, but I've noticed that there's a number of people that you know that I don't, and there's people that I know that you don't know. Some reason in that day there was a big divide between us. Even though travel was still done by cars in my day, there's people that just didn't get back and forth too much. And so when we think about it like that, you all have a list of names of people, and it may be the same thing for Michigan, that the distance there. There may be a whole new group of people in Michigan from what we would have here in Indiana or what I had in Pennsylvania, and I know that it extends even more so out west. There's a host of people. Is that reason why the Hebrew writer said we are compassed about with a great cloud of witnesses? And because of that great cloud of witnesses that surrounds us, that has gone on before us, that we are a recipient of their sacrifice, adds more weight to what else the writer said, that we should run with patience, lay aside every sin. I'm indebted to God this morning I'm indebted to God because of His grace, because of His love that we heard about. I'm indebted to God because of His patience. I'm indebted to God because of His sacrifice. I'm indebted to God for everything in my life. I'm not trying to preach when I say this next statement to anybody else at all, but I heard it again this week. You deserve it. Go and do it. And just thought came to me, oh, I would love to do that, and maybe sometime I can, but it's not because I deserve it. I know, I understand what people say, that they've worked hard or whatever it is that causes a person to say they deserve it, but I'm indebted. I'm indebted to God. I'm indebted to my family. Where would I be this morning? And when I say this, I want you to reflect on your person. I'm indebted to my grandfathers. Where would I be this morning had my grandfathers not been Christians? My mom's dad went to what we would call a nominal church. Actually, my dad's parents went to nominal church as well. As you, Sister Clark would know, coming from it as well, the Free Methodist Church, it rapidly deteriorated. Brother Webb making mention of it just the other day, that my grandmother was a shouting Free Methodist. Grandpap was a little more on the quiet side, but Grandpa was always, my mom's dad was always just a solid rock, even in the midst of the storm that he had at home. My grandmother on that side didn't get saved till she was 97. What a storm he lived through, but he was always the rock. Pap and Graham Ziegler, I am indebted to my family. I am indebted to my family. I'm indebted to friends. Aren't you? I'm indebted to my country. Thank you, those of you that have served in our congregation. I've said it before. I really doubt you get tired of hearing it because you've given so much. Those of you that have served for our country, I'm thinking about the Meriwether brothers this morning as well. Thank you. Young men, if you listen to this later on, thank you for your service to our country. I'm indebted for our country. The provisions, the blessings, all have come because somebody sacrificed so that we can enjoy it. Memorial Day is a time to remember. It's a time to reflect. It's time to give thanks. It's a time to feel that indebtedness. Whether I have somebody that is a sung hero in my family or not, I can still feel a keen interest in the indebtedness to those unsung heroes or sung heroes that surround the freedoms of our land. People that have stood between their beloved homes and war's desolations, there was once again something that caught their attention. You could say it's the Star Spangled Banner. It was the flag that was flying, that in the midst of the mist and the morning fogs and the gunpowder smoke, that they could catch glimpses of it, and it renewed their strength. It renewed their morale. It boosted their courage. But the underlying wasn't the flag. That was what represented the underlying. The underlying was that there was a cause. And as we remember this morning, as we remember tomorrow, as our mind is full of the Memorial Day celebration, let us also remember that there is a spiritual cause and that we are involved with a spiritual battle. And I'm once again reminded of the passage of Scripture of David's life in 1 Samuel chapter 17, where it speaks in verse number 29, where David was caught up in the middle of a group of people who had lost their morale. They had lost their courage. David, as a young shepherd boy that had no experience militarily, as it were, he cried out from the base. He cried out from the underlying. He said, "Is there not a cause?" And then I think of our key verse for Sunday school this morning, where Paul is laying out a challenge. It's a challenge that very few of us are willing to accept. It's a challenge that at times we flinch at. I don't care who we are. I believe that there are times when we look at the realities of his challenge, when we see it from the perspective that he may have seen it from, that we may have a tendency to flinch. We may have a tendency to hold back, because he said, "Endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." And when we think about his perspective, he saw stones being thrown at him. I got a big blister about the size of a dime on my hand just recently, and I even had gloves on. I was even wearing gloves. I know all of you guys, most of you women are catching on there. What a softie. Endure hardness. During hardness, from my perspective, I got a blister when I was wearing gloves. Some of you have big calluses on your hands. When I look at hardness from that perspective, it changes my perspective. You see why I'm saying this? When Paul speaks about enduring hardness as a good soldier, unless we look at that from his perspective, we lose the weight, the value. But when we look at it from his perspective, it would take us much deeper. It would take us to more intensity. It would take us to a level that probably we're not familiar with. And that, as I said, we may tend to flinch from. Well, wait a minute. But endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Why? Because there is a cause. There is a cause. Whether we want to talk about it, the freedoms of our country, or the freedoms spiritually, there is a cause for which that we fight. If we are fighting for the country and the cause of freedom, then we fight for the country and the cause of freedom. If we are fighting for the spiritual side, then we must fight for the cause. I don't know how it is on the countryside, but I do know how it is on the spiritual side. It's easy for us to lose sight of the actual cause. And in losing sight of the actual cause, we begin to focus our fight on the surrounding issues. On the countryside, people willing to stand between their loved homes and war's desolation on the spiritual side. On the spiritual side, the cross of Christ goes on before. Walking together behind the cross, marching together behind the cross. Not in front of, not even beside, but the cross going on before. Memorial Day, it's a day to remember. Remember those that have crossed from time to eternity. Remember those that have cared enough to make a difference. Remember those who have protected and impacted our lives so that we are grateful for their sacrifice, for their dignity, for their honor. And we remember by realizing that we are a beneficiary of freedom because they gave. We are a recipient of mercy and grace and love, and we are indebted to God, to our family, to our friends, to our country. There is a cause. Be a soldier. We remember. Stand with me this morning.